All right. Well, good evening. How are y'all doing this evening? Doing well. That's great. Me too. Praise the Lord. Welcome and welcome those of you online. If you would stand, if you can, we're going to start out by singing Majesty. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from His throne.
Tomorrow, because
Must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The way I must needs go on in the blood-sprinkled way, the path that the Savior trod. If I ever climb to the gates sublime, where the soul is at home with God, the way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward. Says, come and I seek my home where he waits at the open door. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home. Amen. Mighty cross, love lifted high, the Lord of life raised there to die. His sacrifice on Calvary has made the mighty cross a tree of life to me. O mighty cross, what throne of grace! He knew no sin, yet took my place. His sacrifice on Calvary has made the mighty cross a tree of life to me. O mighty cross, O Christ so pure, love held him there, such shame endured. His sacrifice on Calvary has made the mighty cross a tree of life to me. O mighty cross, my soul's release, the stripes he bore have brought me peace. His sacrifice on Calvary has made the mighty cross a tree of life to me. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Anybody got a pick of him this evening? I know Frank had a couple. Anybody else thinking of one? 572? All righty. 572. Blessed Assurance, 572. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Amen. Frank, what was that one that you had? I don't remember the number or the name. Not that one. The other two. Be a surprise. No, you're 408 was one of them. Okay, let's see if that's the one I was thinking of. I'll remember it when I see it. 408. Yeah, that's it. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said? To you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. When through all fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all-sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. The soul that on Jesus Jesus hath leaned for repose. I will not desert to his foes. That soul through all hell should endeavor to shake. All never forsake. Amen.
Good. Amen. All right. Okay. Well, let's see here. Make sure you got the phone turned off. Everybody doing okay tonight? Amen. All right. Very good. Brother Ron, you going to work the mic?
Yes, sir.
Okay, man. Work that mic, Brother Ron. I won't be there tonight. Amen. All right. What praises or testimonies or verses or do we have tonight? Anybody? Yes, ma'am, Miss Terry. Miss Terry has a praise or something?
Yeah. I got a brand new granddaughter today.
All right.
Her name's Vivian.
Vivian?
Uh-huh. That's Dustin's wife, Sheridan.
Uh-huh.
And we're just praising the Lord because there was a little bit of complications.
Yeah.
And they found, when they went in to do the C-section, they found that she had this mass.
Oh, wow.
That they removed.
Oh, my goodness.
So in the process, they did have to remove her uterus.
Oh, my goodness.
This is her third baby. But we're just praising the Lord because it could have really been, could have caused a lot of bleeding.
Yeah,
all of
yeah.
That if it would have gone any farther or whatever.
Right.
And everything, the surgery went well. The baby's doing well. So,
how big is the baby?
I don't even know. That's because you know the daddy's there. They don't communicate very well.
All right. So Vivian's here. And that's new. Born today?
Born this morning.
All right.
Yes. This afternoon. Yeah. Yeah, and Vince is at the fire station, so you can't go up there. They don't let anybody up there anymore. You know.
All right, amen. Very good.
And I got all my supplies for that I needed to teach my helping babies breathe.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord just took care of all of it.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's great. Supplies in for mission trip. Very good. Amen. What else?
I just want to thank the Lord that he hears and answers prayers, the ones that we don't ask. I mean, he just knows what's going on. The Lord put a young lady on my heart yesterday, it was during the day and then at night and then this morning. And I'm like, well, I just need to get a hold of this person. And I got a hold of her and she... she started crying and she said, told me everything that was going on and it was bad.
Yeah.
And I just, prayed with her or just, gave her some verses and just, was there to try to be there for her.
Right.
And, but it just rang so true and clear that, God just knows. I mean, it's like he put her on my heart just out of nowhere,
Yeah.
That happened very often. And then constant. And just, I was praying for her and I thought there might be something going on. But just to find out, this girl was in desperation. She was in tears. I don't want to go all into it.
Yeah, right.
But, so anyway, pray for her.
Amen.
Her name is Roxy.
Okay.
And her daughter, she would bring her daughter also to our Awanus.
Okay.
But she worked at Hobby Lobby with me. I just want to lift her up. But I am just so thankful that God just knows, everything.
Amen. Amen. What else? Anybody else? Praises, testimonies? All right. Miss Alita has a praise.
Well, I have a praise and a prayer request at the same time.
Okay.
But Annabelle had her surgery.
Back surgery?
She had to go back for emergency surgery.
Uh-oh.
Because she had gotten an infection. And they got through that and got all the infection out. And she got to go home from the hospital yesterday, Saturday.
Okay.
She's with my daughter, and I praise the Lord for my daughter because she was able to get her into a doctor she used to work for.
Yeah.
And got an appointment, like, right away. The next day he contacted her. So Annabelle had to leave from Pasadena, where she's at, and head on to Austin, and she made it there safely.
She drove?
She drove herself.
Oh, my soul.
She had to leave early in the morning to make that appointment because they had to fit her in.
Yeah.
But I thank God for my daughter because she knows, she's seen so many cases that, you know, she has to take care of the dressings and pack it and do whatever,
yeah,
you know, special things she has to do. And I know Miss Terry is very familiar with that. But I do thank God for my daughter.
So she's going to stay with your daughter for how long, you think?
We don't know. We don't know the recovery and how long it's going to take. But I thank the Lord that he got her through. And so now it's let the healing begin.
Amen. Who's got the dog? Okay. Randall's got that dog. Take care of that dog, man. It's a good dog.
It may be tacos.
No, that dog's not tacos. You wouldn't get much taco out of that dog. That little bitty dog, man, you might get a half a taco. All right, I think Bobby's got something back there in the back, Ron.
I have a praise report from my friend Jason, was from his dad.
Yeah.
He went up to the hospital yesterday to see him and called me all excited because when he got there, Jason was walking down the hallway.
All right.
He's still got the halo on, which he's going to have in probably until the end of August.
Yeah.
But after that, he's going to have a neck brace. But he has no paralysis. He's not paralyzed, you know, after being paralyzed from the swimming pool accident.
Yeah.
So my blessing and my praise is pray.
Yeah, amen.
God listens. God listens. Because I've seen two miracles just in the past few years. And the first one was Addison. And now Jason.
Right.
And I'm sure there's multitudes other that I can think about, but these are really ones that are really related to me.
Yeah, amen, man.
Yep.
That's good.
Yep.
All right. All right. Prayer requests then. Anything? Oh, okay. All right. Brother Ronnie's got one. All right, Ronnie. Ronnie Vaculix has a prayer request.
Ronnie Holman.
For Ronnie Holman.
Yeah, he's going to a doctor next week and a different doctor, so they're going to determine what the next step's going to be, I guess, from there.
All right. Changing doctors. All right. Very good. Amen. Stephanie's got a prayer request.
Well, I had one praise. We prayed for my little great niece this morning that's just over 2 years old. It was been in the hospital since Friday with a viral form of hand, foot, and mouth where she had blisters all in her mouth, down her throat.
Yeah.
Hadn't eaten, drinking. So she got to go home today.
Amen.
So very thankful for that so that they can help. I mean, a two-year-old in a hospital bed for more than 2 days is more than they can handle. So she's home to continue praying for her healing. And also as a prayer request to lift up the Martin family. This is the pastor of my sister's church in Spring.
Yeah, Bobby Martin.
Bobby and Diane Martin. They're 1 month old. He was 5 or 6 weeks old. Was unresponsive this morning, their grandson, and he didn't make it. So just lift up the Martin family.
Yeah.
And they have like 3 daughters and 1 son.
Four daughters. 5 kids.
And they all have kids. They all are there at that church. Their son, Heath, is at kids camp with the sibling of the son, of this boy, and 2 of the cousins. So he had to tell them the baby was in the hospital but didn't say any further, and they're all trying to get back from kids camp up at Trinity Pines. So pray for that whole family.
Amen. Bobby Martin's family. We'll lift them up. All right. What else tonight? All right. Miss Alita? Miss Alita has another prayer request. What you got, ma'am?
Yes, I'd like to lift Ronnie up also in prayer. His feet have really been bothering him. He is going for results on a test this coming week, and hopefully they can help him somehow.
Amen. You having that nerve pain in your feet? Okay. Nerve pain. Amen, amen. All right, we'll pray for that. What else? Anything else? Yes, so Miss Terry's got another one.
I don't know if anybody's heard from Brother John.
Yeah, has anybody heard from John?
But I'm going to tell you.
Oh, you've heard from John.
Those men worked very, very, very hard. And we're not getting any younger, you know?
Yeah,
and
right.
So I saw Brother John sweating this week, putting those ceiling things in and holding those power tools with the Christian Builders Association.
Yeah.
And that was a real blessing to be a part of this week.
Did you and Vince go out there?
Vince was there every day. I went 3 days.
Oh, okay.
And just pray for that work. It's just a real sweet. The praise is this family from Cypress went to Fairfield Baptist for many, many years.
Yeah.
And always had these sports camps on the north side in Alding, and kind of like Vacation Bible School.
Yeah.
They reached out to those people, and after they retired, they just sold everything, moved over there, have been having church in their home for 3 years.
Oh,
and
wow.
And they bought this vacated church for many years, sitting there.
Yeah.
Cash. And they're fixing it up, and they've got a community there of needy people that love them.
Amen. Is it a Hispanic work?
No.
No, Anglo work. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Amen. It's real exciting.
It's
so refreshing, and they've given everything. And what the men did is they knocked down 3 classrooms and made a big old fellowship hall because they need it. They've got, you know. So it was a real blessing. But
amen.
I know Brother John worked really, really hard, and I'm sure he is sore this morning. I know Vince has been. It's been hard at being at the fire station 2 days. we're not getting
that working
younger.
That working in the heat's no fun, man. Hard, hard, hard. All right, anything else? Maddie? Terry and Maddie getting ready to leave. Y'all leave on?
July 15th.
Okay, a couple more weeks. Going to
Uganda.
Kororo. Uganda, Africa. 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 That's how you say Africa. Africa. All right, y'all ready to pray? Frank, ready? All right, let's do it. Dear Jesus, we come to you tonight, Lord. We thank you for this time. We thank you that we can bear one another's burdens and lift up these praises to you tonight. Lord, first of all, we thank you for the mercy that we got to preach about today, the grace, your kindness and your compassion, the fact that you are a servant and a Savior. And Lord, we love it how that all comes together on Calvary's cross to take care of our sin debt and our sin penalty. We praise you tonight, Lord, for little Vivian coming into the world. We pray you just help her grow and get strong and Lord, we pray right now in advance for her salvation one day. So we just thank you for another gift of life in the form of Vivian. Pray for Vivian's mother as she heals up from this procedure that she's had. And we pray that you just get that family on the mend and get them home as quick as possible. We do praise you that Miss Terry's supplies for her mission trip have all come in. She's ready to go there. And we just pray that shipping those supplies to Africa would be a smooth deal for her. We lift up Loopy's praise that, Lord, you hear and you answer prayer. And we thank you for your sovereignty, Lord, in the midst of that, how you kind of connect the dots. Sometimes we don't exactly know how you're working behind the scene, but it seems like you're always working behind the scene, and we praise you and thank you for that. We lift up Roxy to you tonight. We pray for her situation. We pray for her wisdom. We pray that you might help her in her time of need and time of trouble. We lift up Annabelle's praise to you that our Lita's praise that Annabelle was able to have emergency surgery to remove some infection from a previous surgery. And we praise you for Miss Alita's daughter taking care of her aunt, Aunt Annabelle. And Lord, we pray you just help Annabelle heal up and get back going, and Lord, get past this this back surgery. Lord, we pray for Bobby's, or we lift up Bobby's praise to you tonight, Jason, and the fact that he is walking down the hall, was paralyzed, but is paralyzed no more. And we give you the praise for that miracle. We give you the praise that, Lord, for whatever reason, you've mended that neck, and you've brought those nerves back together, and he's able to walk, and we just give you the praise and glory for that. We lift up Ronnie Holman to you tonight, Lord, as he's in process of changing doctors with his cancer diagnosis. We pray that you just lead, guide, and direct him, Lord. We pray you might remove that cancer from him, and Lord, just help Ronnie and Nancy as they go through that challenge together. We give you the praise that little Blake, our great niece, has got to go home from the hospital from this ordeal of a hand and foot virus. We praise you and thank you, Lord, that she's doing better. And then, Lord, we pray tonight for the Martin family and the loss of their 5-week-old grandson from this sudden infant death syndrome. Lord, we just pray that you comfort them. Help the mother, help the father, help the grandparents, help all the siblings and the family deal with that loss, Lord. We pray that you might give them the grace to get through that together. We lift up Ronnie Vaculik to you tonight, Lord. We pray for his feet. We pray for this nerve pain that he's having. And Lord, we just pray that you might touch his body. We lift up our Texas Christian Builders. We're thankful for Vince and Terry and Brother John being able to go over there to Aldine and work in that ministry. And we pray for that ministry over there, Lord. That's a great area to be going in and to be working in. And Lord, kind of a mission field over there. And we're just thankful for folks that are willing to uproot and just plant their lives over there in Aldine. Good place, good people over there. So God, we pray you might bless that work. You might help that work. Lord, we just pray that many lost people would come to salvation through that work. And then, Lord, we lift up Terry and Maddie to you, getting ready to go to Uganda, Africa. We pray you make their path straight. Lord, you just have the people ready to hear the message. We pray that the doctors and the nurses that travel, that, Lord, their skills and their abilities would be exactly what those people need, physically, emotionally, and, of course, spiritually, Lord. Pray there'd be a great exchange of love, a great exchange of helps. And Lord, there'd be a great spiritual exchange of the gospel and people receiving Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. We continue to pray for the country of Ukraine. Lord, we pray that you might help them liberate and take back their land and save their democracy. We pray for our country. We pray for specifically for protection for these conservative Supreme Court justices that have just overturned Roe v. Wade. We pray that you might protect their families. You might protect their homes. Lord, we just pray a hedge of protection around them. And Lord, you might just help them stay safe until all the drama, until all the upset and the anger kind of subsides, Lord. We just want to get through this cycle and then people be mad, upset about something else. But Lord, we just pray that you watch over these folks and help them just kind of hang in there and hang tough until this kind of blows over. And Lord, we pray for those that are on the opposite side of pro-life. We pray that you might help them see the preciousness of who you are and what you do and how you put us together in the womb and how it is a thing of God, this creation of man. And so, Lord, we just pray people would see that and they would see past their choice and they would see past their rights and they would see the very hand of God in the process. So, Lord, we pray people would see that and would come around to being pro-life and to being worshipers of you, God. We pray you might use this debate, you might use this thing in this country to ultimately further your gospel somehow, some way, God. You're sovereign. So, Lord, we just pray you might use it. We pray for rain. Lord, we know we might get some maybe this evening or tomorrow. And Lord, we pray that be the fact. We pray you open the floodgates of heaven and water this old dry parched ground, Lord. Just pour it out on us. Let us have it. And we just praise you and thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Thank you for your word tonight. We're thankful that we can be in it. And we just praise you and love you for it. It's in your name we pray and God's people said. Amen. Amen. All right, let's take a copy of God's word and turn to Revelation chapter 21. We'll begin reading here in verse 9. We'll take it through verse 21. I invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 9. Revelation 21, 9. The word of God reads this. Those of you watching with us online, good to have you tonight. I haven't welcomed you yet, but welcome, welcome, welcome. Revelation 21, beginning in verse 9, it says, "Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, 'Come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb.' And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain, showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. Having the glory of God, her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. It had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names were written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. There were three gates on the east, and three gates on the north, and three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The one who spoke with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its wall. The city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as its width. And he measured the city with the rod 1,500 miles, its length and width and height are equal. And he measured its wall 72 yards according to human measurements, which are also angelic measurements. The material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold like clear glass. The foundation stones of the city were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation stone was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were the 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass." Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God this evening, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now we find ourselves continuing on here, moving through the tour that takes place. We're trying to get a sense of the amazing curb appeal of this new Jerusalem, right? We talked last time as we were ending this that words just do not do this justice. We said that the city had a great and high wall. The very fact that it's got a great and high wall around it indicates that it's not some kind of cloud-like structure, but it is it's not some place just floating in the clouds, but it is a real hard material created place. We talked about trying to get the visual in our minds. At the top of each gate was the name of one of the tribes of Israel. We talked about at the bottom of each gate was the name of one of the apostles. Thus, the layout of the city's gates pictures, we said as we ended last time, God's favor on all his redeemed people, both those under the old covenant and those under the new covenant. We asked the question, what does God's favor mean for you and me today? What does his favor mean for us? How are we favored? What does this favor look like? We shared a few passages of Scripture before we closed it out. Psalm 90, verse 17. The Word of God reads, "Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and confirm for us the work of our hands." Yes, confirm the work of our hands. Psalm 5:12, we also read, "For it is you who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor as with a shield." And then we went and we looked at Psalm 84, verse 11. Now, per verse 15, there are some what? Some interesting, what is that show, Klinger? What was that called, man? Hogan's Heroes. Very interesting, right? We've got some very interesting measurements here, right? You didn't know I could do that, right? Amen, I can do it. All right, verse 15, find it with me, right? 21:15, right? "The one who spoke with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its wall." Per verse 15, there's some interesting measurements being taken. There's some interesting things going on here. This curious thing occurred. This angel who spoke with John had a what? Had a gold measuring rod, a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its wall. I wonder if that thing was on a spool. I wonder if it shot out. I want, you know, what's the standout length? I mean, I guess it just goes and goes and goes. The question, where else in Scripture do we see something like this taking place? Well, we see in measuring of the millennial temple in Ezekiel chapter 40, verse 3. And again, in measuring the tribulation temple in Revelation chapter 11, verse 11. Well, what in the world is the significance? When we see this in the Scripture, what is the significance of all three measurements? All three measurements, what is the significance of that? The significance of that is it marks out what belongs to Almighty God. It's been measured because it belongs to Him, right? Just like when you buy a house or you buy a piece of property, it's been what? Surveyed. The survey stakes, the surveyor, he knows exactly where to find them. I've never seen survey stakes on my property, but I'm telling you, you bring a survey guy out there, he'll know exactly where to look. This is the mark. This is your property. This over here belongs to your neighbor. This belongs to you. You're paying taxes on this piece. They're paying taxes on that over there, right? It tells us what belongs to God. The very fact is of this, friend, it's why every hair on your head is numbered. Right? You've been measured. It's why every one of your days is appointed unto you. And then one day your life, your physical life is going to end if we don't make the rapture. And then there's a judgment coming. Why does He number our days? Why are the hairs on our head numbered? Because He created us and He owns us. And praise Him that He saved us. Amen? Praise Him that He's also saved us. So the significance of those measurements is that it illustrates what belongs to God. The results of the angels' measuring revealed that the city is laid out as a what? What is it looking like? Let's look at verse 16. The city's laid out as a square, a cube. Does your Bible say cube? Everybody got square? Four square. Anybody got cube? Right? Everybody got square. Amen. Laid out as a square, but it is geometrically a cube. So you are right about that, Brother Jeremiah. Do you think the shape of the cube has any significance in the design of the city? Think that through for a minute. Remember how the Bible's all kind of tied together, right, Ron? The Bible's kind of all tied together, right? So think about this cube. Right? Think about it. You know, a square is equal in its width and its height and a cube and then in its depth. The cube was the shape specified. That's what I love about the Bible, love about God. You don't change it up much, keeps it the same, keeps it simple, right? The cube was the shape specified by God for the holy place in Solomon's temple for 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 20, where God was to dwell. God likes being in a cube. He likes being in a cube. I like being in a cube with Him. Amen? Put me in a cube, right? Between the two cherubim, 1 Kings 6:20, this place to dwell in Solomon's temple was measured out as a cube. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 20, the inner sanctuary was 20 cubits in length, 20 cubits in width, and 20 cubits in height. And He overlaid it with pure gold. He also overlaid the altar with cedar. Amen, amen? So the shape of the city may indicate how we're all going to get around it one day. What do you mean, preacher? Well, it's a cube. It's a cube. The new bodies of the resurrected saints, you don't want gravity to mess with you. Gravity won't mess with you. Your body will be like one of those of the angels or like the resurrected Christ, no longer limited by gravitational or electromagnetic forces as at the present, right? It's just not going to be like that anymore for us with a resurrected body. Therefore, it will be as easy for the inhabitants to travel vertically as it will be horizontally in the New Jerusalem. Consequently, the streets of the city spoken of in verse 21 may well include vertical passageways as well as horizontal avenues, and the blocks of the city could literally be real cubical blocks instead of two-dimensional square areas between streets as in present-day earthly city. So it'd be like going down to 2920, FM 2920 Main Street, right? Right? Driving down the road or walking down the road, right? And then looking to your left, and there's what? The city just keeps going up. Or that block just keeps going up. And over here to your right, the just keeps going up. And you look a little bit further, and the block just keeps going up. And it keeps coming over, right? And you're surrounded by what? A city block. Amen? I mean, you're in a cube. Why not? Amen? Based on certain assumptions, about the design of the city and the number of the redeemed who will live in it, theologians estimate that each person's cube would be approximately 75 acres square. Now, that's huge to me. Is that big? It's big, man. That's big. That's 75 acres on each side. That's a big cube for one individual. Again, theologians surmise that if the city could be superimposed on the present-day United States, it would extend from Canada to the Gulf of Mexico and from Colorado to the Atlantic Ocean. That's a pretty big cube. Amen? Pretty big cube. The bottom line is that God has designed the New Jerusalem with plenty of room for all the redeemed, right? You ever hear those people that talk about overcrowding? Oh, overcrowding, overcrowding. Oh, man, there's overcrowding. Friend, I used to live in Kansas. You drive west of Wichita, Kansas? Hello? Hello? Parts of Colorado? Hello? You ever been to Wyoming? Hello? Where's all the people? Oh, man, we got all these people, man. I don't think so. I think we got a lot more land than we got people. Amen? You're going to have plenty of room when you get where? To the New Jerusalem. You're not going to feel like somebody's on top of you. I think the point is. Amen? Amen? So the angel next measured what? The city's wall. At 72 yards, let's look at verse 17. The city was laid out, I'm reading verse 16, of course. The city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as its width. And he measured the city with a rod, 1,500 miles, its length and width and height being equal. 17, and he measured its wall, 72 yards, according to human measurements, which are also angelic measurements, right? So, where are we at? Verse 17. Yes, yes. Most likely, that measurement deals with the wall's thickness. Deals with the wall's thickness. Now, I guess if the New Jerusalem has a wall, it's okay to have one. It's okay to have a wall. Amen? I mean, the New Jerusalem's got one. It's 72 yards thick. It's okay to have one. Most likely, that measurement deals with its thickness. Then, as if to emphasize that the city's dimensions are literal and not mystical, John adds the parenthetical footnote in 17b. What does he say in 17b? We just read it, which are also angelic measurements. In other words, those dimensions were given according to human measurements, which are also angelic measurements, meaning a yard is a yard, a foot is a foot, a mile is a mile, whether for humans or angels. In other words, there's not anything lost in translation here. It's a big old cube with a lot of room. Amen? Amen and amen? So the material that the massive city wall was made out of was jasper. Again, the same diamond-like stone that we mentioned last time. We won't get into that in verse 11, but you can go back and listen to that if you so desire. Not only was the wall translucent, but also the city itself was pure gold like clear glass. The material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold like clear glass. The New Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem's walls and the New Jerusalem's buildings must be clear for the city to do what? For the city to radiate the very glory of God. Now, I know what you're thinking. Some may be concerned that the city's translucence will do away with any privacy. My question to you is, we don't have a need for privacy. There will be nothing in heaven that calls for any kind of privacy. John next turns his attention in the visions of the foundation stones of the city wall, which he describes in amazing detail in verses 19 through 20. The foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation stone, it was jasper, and it goes down and it lists all those all the way through verse 20. They were adorned with every kind of precious stone, 12 of which, 12 of which the, I don't know. Let me get to this next place right here. The names of some of the stones have changed through the centuries, making their identification uncertain. But we're going to go through this list and try to figure it out. 8 of these stones were mounted on the high priest's breastpiece per Exodus 28, 17 through 20, and again mentioned in chapter 39 of Exodus, chapter 10 through 13. So the first foundation stone, what is it? It's jasper, which, as previously noted, is best identified as a diamond. Amen? The second was sapphire. That's a brilliant blue stone. The third was chalcedony, an agate stone from the Chalcedon region of what is now modern Turkey. It's a sky blue, beautiful stone, by the way, sky blue in color with colored stripes running through it. The fourth was emerald. We all know that is a bright green stone. The fifth was sardonyx, a red and white striped stone. The sixth was sardis, a common quartz stone found in various shades of red. The seventh was chrysolite, a transparent gold or yellow hued stone. The eighth was beryl, a stone found in various colors, including shades of green, yellow, and blue. You kind of get the idea that God likes variety. Amen? He likes variety in his foundation stones. The ninth was topaz, a yellow-green stone. The tenth was chrysoprase, a gold-tinted green stone. The 11th was jacinth, a blue or violet-colored stone. In John's day, though, the modern equivalent is a red or reddish-brown zircon. The 12th was amethyst, a beautiful purple stone. These brightly colored stones refract the shining brilliance of God's glory into an envelope of beautiful colors shooting out in all directions. Magnificent, beautiful, that's your curb appeal. Amen? Flashing from the New Jerusalem throughout the recreated universe. Now, the next facet of the heavenly city that caught John's eye were the gates. 12 gates, which were 12 pearls. Verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl. And the street of the city, again, was pure gold, like transparent glass. He can't get away from that. Transparent glass is pure gold. Now, back in John's day, pearls were what? Pearls were highly prized and of great value in his day. They're still highly prized and of great value today. But these pearls were like no pearl ever produced by an oyster. Because as one theologian said, each one of the gates was a single gigantic pearl, and he's calling it nearly 1,400 miles high. 1,400 miles high. That's a big pearl. I mean, wrap your head around that. That's a humongous pearl. There's a great spiritual truth illustrated here by the fact that the gates were made of pearls. We hit on this a couple weeks ago through a Sunday morning message. As the oyster suffers with a grain of sand, he's irritated by a grain of sand. He can't expel the grain of sand. He produces a pearl over the sand. And over his lifespan, the oyster, the Christ so suffered on Calvary. The Christ went to Calvary. The Christ obeyed. He took Calvary for me and you. And his suffering and tears, in a sense, produced these 12 single pearls. Amen? So God, the great architect, makes the gates of the New Jerusalem of pearl, which begs the question, why? Think it through with me. The saints Me and you, the redeemed, me and you, those of us in our glorified bodies one day, in the new creation, in the new Jerusalem, the saints, as we come and go to our home in the new Jerusalem, to earth, or to wherever else we go. Who knows where else we go. I don't know. The saints, as we come and go, will be forever reminded as we pass the gates of glory that access to God's home is only because of Christ's suffering. It is only because of Calvary. Think of the size. I mean, this theologian is right. Think of the size of those gates. Think of the supernatural pearls from which they are made. What gigantic suffering is symbolized by those gates of pearl. Throughout the endless ages, we shall be reminded by those pearly gates of the immensity of the suffering of Christ. Those pearls hung eternally at the access points to the New Jerusalem and will remind us forever of one who hung upon a tree and whose answer to those who injured him by their sin, whose answer to those who even nailed him to the cross by their hate and by their malice. You know what Jesus' answer is to all sinners? Why don't you come share my home? That's what his answer is. They mock him, they beat him, they kick him, they whip him, they spit on him, they curse him, they kill him, they nail him to a cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. What does he do? He extends grace. Thief on the cross, today you'll be in paradise. Right? Amen. John 14, in my Father's house are many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you. Amen? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we were able to make some good ground in our passage this evening, all the way to the pearls. And Lord, as we ended last time on Wednesday evening, talking about your favor, tonight we end mentioning your great sacrifice. And that never gets old, Lord, your great sacrifice. Talking about your great sacrifice never gets old. We praise you and thank you for it. Thank you for pouring out your mercy and pouring out your grace and obeying the Father and going to the cross. Taking our sin penalty and our sin debt upon yourself in experiencing the rejection of the Father so that we don't have to experience it at all. We praise you and thank you for that tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how it's all tied together, knitted together, put together beautifully and perfectly. We praise you and thank you for it. May we continue to learn from it, be inspired by it, and share the truth of it with others that are less fortunate. Thank you, God, that somebody shared the gospel with us. And thank you that we were convicted enough, spiritually poor enough, to realize that we needed to obey the gospel and receive Christ. Thank you that you chose us. And Father God, we're thankful that we chose you back. We love you tonight. Give us safety as we leave this place, Lord. We pray for a good week this coming week. And we pray you may be glorified in all that we do, say, and how we operate in this world. Lord, help us show those beggars out there where the bread of life is. That's really all any of us is just a beggar who's found the bread. So Lord, help us share others that bread that gives eternal life, that bread that sustains, that bread, which is you, Jesus. Help us show them you. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right. You folks are dismissed tonight.